Please take your Bibles and open with me to Matthew 27 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18. Matthew writes with regard to the trial of Jesus, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." Do not envy certain people. Envy was a problem with regard to Jesus. They envied Jesus because of the crowds, because of the departing crowds around the leaders. They were making their money from the crowds. Those that were rabbis were teachers, and they didn't do it for free. Those that were chief priests, the crowds brought them revenue through the money changers and other things. And so, for envy, they crucified him. Jesus is standing before Pilate to be judged and ultimately crucified. The Jewish leaders brought Jesus before Pilate on trumped-up charges that Pilate knew could not be verified. Pilate understood the real reason why Jesus was brought before him. It was because the Jewish leaders envied Jesus, and particularly they envied the success that Jesus was having with the people in teaching and preaching to them the gospel. They envied Jesus because they wanted the glory and honor to go to them and not to God. This is also recorded in Mark chapter 15 and verse 10. The American Heritage Dictionary defines the word envy as follows: a feeling of discontent and resentment aroused by and in conjunction with desire for the possessions or qualities of another. If you envy someone, you want what they have. That envy in and of itself is sinful. That it is sinful is a particular point reinforced throughout the rest of the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, please. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. As you open the book of Acts, the book of Romans, that is, it's as if the Apostle Paul is opening a newspaper and looking at what the world is like around him, looking out and seeing what's going on. And so in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, we read part of a list of the sins of his generation in the Roman Empire. He says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." In the same breath with these egregious sins that are enumerated in society then and indeed now. You can open the newspaper now and see the same things. Turn on the evening news and you're going to read about these very things, especially envy. Someone wanting what someone else has. Envy in government, envy in business, envy in personal relationships. It's something that's everywhere among us. It's listed in Galatians 5, verse 21, as part of the works of the flesh. And Paul lists it in Titus 3, verse 3, as part of the state that the sinner is in before obeying the gospel. The Christian ought not to envy anything, because the Bible teaches that all things belong to us. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 through 23. The Apostle Paul is seeking to correct the church there at Corinth. He writes this: "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God." What do we have need to envy anyone for? We should not envy anyone anything. Be happy for them, for what they have. The Christian ought not to envy anything, because the Bible teaches that all things belong to us. However, because we are subject to the lusts of the flesh, we are tempted to envy the things of others. In this lesson, however, we won't look at envy per se, but rather at some things that God has specifically told us not to envy. I believe that God has specified or specifically warned us about these things because these specific things are more likely to tempt us toward envying than others. And so let's examine them. The man of violence. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 and 32, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there with me, please. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 and 32. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward, or the crooked, is abominable, or abomination to the Lord. But his secret is with the righteous. Who is this man of violence? The King James Version says oppressor. The American Standard Version says man of violence. Man of violence seems to be the more accurate of the two, the more precise. It includes the oppressor, but also includes others as well, being a broader term. This may refer to a mercenary, a soldier who loves killing and hurting, a ruler who controls through fear and violence, as we might think about modern-day drug dealers. Well, why this warning? Why stand up among the people of God and warn about people of violence? Upon immediate inspection of this concept, we may think, why would I envy a man of violence? We sure like to go to movies that depict men of violence, don't we? We like the Godfather movies are some of the most famous movies, and people spend a lot of money to watch those things, and they're often quoted. Why is that? Do we envy that person that can get away with so much? Do we envy that person who has such personal power because of violence? There's a tendency in our society to glorify the man of violence. Someone might desire that kind of glory and honor. Some violent men are able to gain tremendous amounts of wealth in short periods of time. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16. The children of Israel had a problem with men of violence throughout their history. God warned about that kind of person in society, the kind of ruin that they can bring. Proverbs 11, verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Some might desire a quick path to wealth. Men sometimes turn to violence to cover up other sinful activities. Someone might desire to get away with something like someone else. Just the idea that you can get away with something is attractive to many. And so, crimes of passion and things of this nature are brought along by the idea that I might get away with some particular thing. What does God's Word have to say about violence, though? It was one of the reasons God destroyed the earth with the flood. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, consider that term, filled with violence. You turn this way, you turn that way, you look ahead, you look behind, and you see the effects or the actions of violence. That's the kind of society that God destroyed. It's something the Lord hates, Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. We might laud the person who through his own violence, gets away with what he does. But the Lord, the one that sits on the throne of heaven, hates violence. And so that person will have to deal with God when judgment comes. God forbids it. Jeremiah 22, verse 3. Thus saith Jehovah, execute ye justice and righteousness, and deliver him that is robbed out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the sojourner, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. You see, this is one of the reasons why God was interested in Jeremiah's generation, why he took him into captivity and destroyed much of the rest of the nation, because they were a violent people at that time. In every strata of society, there were those that were preying on other people. So God forbade violence toward them. John told the soldiers that came to be baptized of him, "Do violence to no man." Luke 13, 3, verse 14. And so the soldiers of his day, that were used to getting their own way, had to curb their activities in order to be righteous before God. They had to be satisfied with the things that they had and not take things by force. Why should we not envy the violent man? Because it brings shame and reproach. Proverbs 19, verse 6. "He that doeth violence to his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Reproach is the idea that others frown upon what you're doing and do not act in such a way that they honor what you're doing. They turn away from you. They count you as less than they once did. The violent man will be overthrown. Psalm 140, verse 11. "An evil speaker shall not be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him." There's always someone more violent, isn't there? There's always someone who is more dedicated to impressing others with his will. Always someone who is more skilled in violence, and so they're going to be overthrown. We find the ultimate answer in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. "If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and the violent taking away of justice and righteousness in a province, marvel not at the matter, for one higher than the high regardeth, and there are higher than they." And so, the government of the land, and indeed the final judge, the judge of all the earth, is going to take notice of the violent. So don't envy the violent. Their end will be something you don't want. The Bible also says in Psalm 73, verse 3, that we are not to envy the arrogant man. Turn to Psalm 73, verse 3. Psalm 73, verse 3. "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Who is this? Who is the foolish? The King James Version says foolish. The ASV says arrogant. The idea is the one who boasts in himself and believes himself better than others. So arrogance is the idea. Why this warning? Don't we understand that we ought not to envy the arrogant? Yet we may be tempted to do so. Well, the arrogant tend to get their way on some things because of their arrogance. They show to everyone else that they're going to be difficult to deal with, and so they get their way quite often. And so we think, maybe if I turned up that part of my personality just a little bit, well, then I'll get my way on some things. And so God says, do not envy the arrogant man. Don't we understand that we ought not to envy the arrogant? The arrogant are often very confident of themselves, often falsely so. And we envy what appears to be confidence. We may envy the arrogant because they command the respect and attention of their peers. One thing the arrogant do, they do get attention. And we may envy that attention. We may envy the arrogant because they are rich and don't feel like they owe anyone else anything. We would say, well, I did just as much work as that person, and perhaps even more, and I'm not getting the accolades of that arrogant person. I deserve it. And so we turn to arrogance ourselves. What does God's Word say about arrogance, though? "He works in sinful pride," Proverbs 21, verse 24. "The proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He worketh in the arrogance of pride." He worketh in the arrogance of pride. It's something that God hates. Psalm 5, verse 5. "The arrogant shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Proverbs 8, verse 13. "The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the perverse mouth do I hate." I don't know how you can misunderstand that. Arrogance is something that we need to leave behind. If we find that in ourselves, we need to humble ourselves before God and before those that direct us. Why should we not envy the arrogant man? He's going to fall. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I think that in order to change our character sometimes, we need to add things to our memory list. Those things that are that speak to us, speak to our needs, and this may be something that you need to add to yours. Because you have a tendency to be arrogant before others. Because of your talents, because of your perceived worth, that you are arrogant before others. He will fall, Proverbs 16, verse 18. They are not the source of their own elevation, Psalm 75, verses 4 through 7. I said unto the arrogant, deal not arrogantly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for neither from the east nor from the west, nor yet from the south, cometh lifting up. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and lifteth up another. God places you where you are. Now, don't be lifted up because you have high position or higher than someone else. I've noticed in my years that we are often, as a human race, we are often arrogant to the people that are below us in society. If you were a white man in the early 1800s and the Irish came over, then the Irish were looked down and people would say, well, at least I'm not Irish. No matter how low they were above someone else. And there indeed is a point where the white was arrogant toward the black man, and even today toward the Hispanic and others. And so we ought to watch that in our character, not say, at least I'm not him. And that's part of the arrogance that we need to watch out for in our own hearts. The arrogant will be punished by God. Isaiah 13, verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Romans 1, verses 30 and 32. We also need to point out that we are not to envy the unrighteous and the sinner. Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2. Now, why would we want to envy the unrighteous and the sinner? Because they do so many fun things, we think. Well, they're the ones that are naked nearly out on the beaches. They're the ones that are speeding on our highways. They're the ones that are taking advantage of others. They're the ones that that seem to be getting away with things that we think we would never get away with. And so we envy them. Maybe I ought to grab more gusto. Rather, we need to think that we ought to grab more righteousness and head for heaven. Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You can also look at Proverbs 23, verse 17, and Proverbs 24, verses 1 and 2. Who is this? Who are they talking about? Who is the psalmist talking about? Evil men, evildoers, workers of iniquity, sinners. These are those who, disengaging from all sobriety, act in whatever manner they please, with anyone they please, for whatever reasons they please, all to the gratification of their own fleshly desires. Why this warning among the people of God? Because sin and unrighteousness are pleasurable to a degree, and they seem to have so much fun. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. In this great chapter on faith, we read this. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Back up to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have had a good life there in the palace. He could have had a good time. He could have remembered so many things from his past on his deathbed that was so fun. But that he had so much pleasure in. And yet eternity was coming. And so, he believed it was better to throw in his lot with the people of God and to please God rather than wallow in sin. The sinful get rich. They party. They have a good time. It's tempting for us to want to have a good time along with them. What does God's Word say about the unrighteous and the sinner? Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 15, the beginning of Solomon's great discourse to his son. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And if they say, excuse me, a little tickle in my chest. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. For we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. It's an important matter, because those that follow this path follow it to their destruction. So if a man wants his son to prosper, he tells him about the pitfalls. I know it's kind of awkward to do that sometimes because, you know, fathers don't know anything. They're part of the past. They're not up with the current things. And so sons often think, well, that's just dad talking on. But it's our responsibility to do because we might turn them from an evil way. We might take care of business and cause them to prosper. They're commanded to repent and be clean and pure. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Why should we not envy the sinner? Once again, it seems like they have such a good time. They seem to have everything, things that we don't have. We often envy people who have bigger cars, bigger houses. We often don't see their mortgages or their credit card bills, but they seem to have so much more. Why can't we have that? They'll be cut off. Psalm 37, verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. If we do not envy them, then our reward will not be cut off. Psalm 23, verses 17 and 18. Let not thy heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of Jehovah all the day long. For surely there is a reward, and thy hope shall not be cut off. We do not envy them, because they will be destroyed. Isaiah 1, verse 28. Just as Jeremiah did in his day, Isaiah preached against the violence and the sin of his generation, which was great. They were carried off into captivity as well. But the destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake Jehovah shall be consumed. It wasn't long after this that the armies of Assyria surrounded the world then and took it into captivity and displaced the people. Now, Jerusalem was left alone because by the prayers of Hezekiah and Isaiah, they turned the armies around, actually destroyed them in one night. And the king of Assyria had to go back home in his chariot alone. But what God said was true. The destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake Jehovah shall be consumed. The other people besides Jerusalem, well, they were carried into captivity, and they were rarely heard from ever again after that captivity. They will end up in hell for all eternity. Revelation 21, verse 8. For the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that's something to fear. We cannot envy those who end up in that particular way. We simply cannot. We don't want that for ourselves. So we need to listen to the warnings of the Bible. Do not envy this, the man of violence, the arrogant man, the sinner. There may be some here today that have been guilty of envying any of these three, that they have taken on arrogancy because of the perceived superiority of the arrogance, Or perhaps you've committed a violent act, or you've even become this eat, drink, and be merry attitude, the sinner. The idea that God gives you is to today turn back to Him. Repent of that sin and ask Him for forgiveness. He has promised to forgive, but you must repent of that sin and come to Him and ask. If it's a public matter, make it sure that you make it known publicly that you've repented. And if you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, why wait another hour? Why wait another minute? If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?